Simon & Schuster Audio presents Watch Me, a memoir by Angelica Houston. Read by the author.
Part 1. Love. Chapter 1. My old life ended and my new life began as I was standing next to a baggage carousel in the customs hall at LAX in March 1973. It was there, at the age of 21, that I parted ways with Bob Richardson, the man I had lived with for the last 4 years, a bold and provocative fashion photographer 24 years older than I, with whom I'd been involved in a tempestuous affair. Until this moment, we'd been sharing an apartment in Gramercy Park, New York. Had it not been for the presence of my father and his latest wife, Cece, with whom Bob and I had just been vacationing in La Paz, Mexico, I doubt that I would ever have had the final stroke of courage it would take to leave him. I would be staying temporarily at the ranch house in the Pacific Palisades that Cece had owned prior to her marriage to Dad, and that she was redecorating to accommodate some treasures from our old life at St. Clarence, a pastoral estate in the west of Ireland where I grew up with my brother Tony before we moved with our mother to London, before the birth of my half-siblings, Danny and Allegra, before I acted in a movie at the age of 16 with my father directing, before my mother's death by car crash in 1969, a cataclysmic experience that for me ended that beautiful, hopeful decade when I moved from England to America. One morning, early in my stay at Cece's, I ordered a taxi and told the driver to take me to Hollywood. "Do you mean Vine Street?" he asked vaguely. I'd guessed that Hollywood wasn't really a place, but rather a state of mind, with a great many parking lots sandwiched between shops and storefronts advertising sex and liquor. But oddly, there was a sense of coming home to California. Although I'd grown up in Europe, I was born in Los Angeles. The desert skies were clear blue and untroubled. Living with my father again felt strange, but he would be leaving soon to resume work on The Macintosh Man in New York. I was eager to buy some marabou bedroom stilettos to match the pink swansdown trimmed negligee that Cece had generously just given me. Driving along Sunset in the pale sunshine, I noticed that the panorama was bare and garish, mostly warehouses and two-story facades. There were rows of tall palm trees and purple jacarandas. The air was windy and dry and sweet-scented. Beverly Hills, it seemed, was all about who you were, what you were driving, your pastimes, and your playgrounds. A few days before, Cece had taken me shopping on Rodeo Drive, where there was a yellow-striped awning above Giorgio's boutique with outdoor atomizers that puffed their signature Giorgio perfume. Indulgent husbands drank espresso at a shiny brass bar inside as their wives shopped for feathered gowns and beaded cocktail dresses. For lingerie, the local sirens went to Jewel Park, who was known to seal the deal for many aspirants based on the strength of her hand-stitched negligees and satin underwear trimmed with French lace. We lunched at the Luau, a Polynesian watering hole, the darkest oasis on the street, where you could hear rummy confessions from the next-door booth as you tucked behind your ear a fresh gardenia from the scorpion punch. Los Angeles was a small town then. It felt both incredibly glamorous and a little provincial. Cece, who was in her mid-30s, had a son, Colin, by a former marriage to the documentary filmmaker and screenwriter Waylon Green. Cece had gone to private schools in Beverly Hills and Montecito, and her friends were the hot beauties of the day, from Jill St. John and Stephanie Powers to Bo Derek and Stephanie Zimbalist.